May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, our psalm today is perhaps the most famous of all of the psalms in the Bible. I know that there have been multiple choral and musical settings for it. It's often the go-to passage for graveside scenes on TV shows. And it's perhaps the longest piece of scripture that's committed to memory for most Christians. Psalm 23 is indeed a standout among the psalms. Yet because it is a standout, it can often be one of the hardest passages to preach on. So unless you're new to the Christian faith, it's not like you haven't bumped up against at least a Sunday school lesson on Psalm 23 before. I know that we've typically heard all sorts of fun facts, thinking about shepherding, looking at animal husbandry and other and the nature of ancient herding practices, so much so that we could probably hardly stand another Sunday learning the latest and greatest in ancient Near Eastern agricultural advances, which is why I am so glad that David, the traditional author of this psalm, gives us an out from so illuminating yet indeed arcane a subject. He composes this psalm from a first-person point of view. The Lord, the God of the unutterable name, is who that famous king of Israel claims as his shepherd. And by extension, David is a sheep of the Lord's fold. This, of course, invites us to join David to consider with him what it means to be one of God's sheep. What does it mean to trust God as our shepherd? Well, first of all, we can count on the fact that God is going to supply our needs. We have no wants in God's flock, meaning that we're not lacking for anything, not that God fulfills whatever whim flits through our brains. Food, drink, safe conduct through life, refreshment and that replenishes our souls, our whole being, if you remember, physical and spiritual from a few weeks ago. These are just a few of the guarantees that God provides for his beloved flock. Yet we are not guaranteed to be spared difficulty. A fallen world is a dangerous place, despite however good the Lord declared it to be before sin crept into Eden. The valley of the shadow of death is a real experience that we all must face. Even Jesus wasn't spared. The most fearsome opponent that we all face, death, haunts us like a preternatural foe in a Halloween movie. Why would our loving Lord allow such a thing? Well, at this point, it's this very fact that this gets allowed that people point to the problem of evil as a rationale to ditch belief in a personal God or a good God or even a belief in God altogether. We cannot fully know God's mind about why he permits violence, natural disasters, desperate poverty, and even death, although we can speculate. But in our psalm, as well as many other places in Scripture, we are promised that we can know God's presence. In hard times, even the face of a doom that we dread the most, God is with us. The Lord sticks by his sheep. He doesn't abandon us to the wolves. He doesn't simply let us wander off a cliff to plummet to our doom. He even blesses us before the very eyes of those who wish us harm. His provision is abundant. His divine favor flows over our lives like oil being poured over a newly minted king. So God never leaves us whenever we are in danger. He always provides for us in the face of our most destructive foes, and He publicly demonstrates His blessing and love so that our faith stands vindicated. Then David caps off his revelry, rejoicing in the bright future that he envisions ahead of him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When Gerald Ford's son was in seminary, there were two secret servicemen who were detailed, and they ended up picking up the nicknames Goodness and Mercy, because they indeed followed the president's son everywhere he went, on campus and off. So as much as that kind of good-natured ribbing might be, it does there is a sense in which these secret servicemen exemplified our own Lord's character. Our Lord's gracious goodness and limitless mercy indeed follow us everywhere. He blesses us when we don't deserve it. He forgives us when we truly repent, no matter how wicked our actions. In fact, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit is sometimes called the Hound of Heaven. Because of such goodness and mercy, we can join David wholeheartedly when he looks forward to dwelling with God in His house forever. Now, remember when talking about God's house, David only knew the tabernacle. He wasn't permitted by God to build the temple that later his son Solomon would erect to honor our Lord. So whether David expected someday to see that temple, or was looking forward to the celestial temple in the new heavens and new earth at his resurrection, or whether he was simply thinking of the old tent that he knew and loved that housed the Ark of the Covenant ever since the days of Moses, David was looking forward to meeting and abiding with the Lord for as long as he possibly could. He wanted to be present with the God who was present for him throughout eternity. Spending time with God is more important to David than whatever kind of house that was earmarked as God's abode. Likewise, we should be less impressed with ideas of streets of gold to walk on than being welcomed into the very presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Simply being with our triune God should be more than enough reward for any faithfulness that we can muster by His grace. So, Psalm 23 reveals a God who takes care of all of our needs, a God who walks with us even during the hardest of times, and a God who is willing to bless us and keep company with us for eternity. This is the God who David found he could trust. Is He the loving Lord that you could trust as well? Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear His voice, we may know Him who calls us each by name and follow where He leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.